Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bone-crunching hits, backboard-shattering dunks, bat flips, and hat tricks on the Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
We will hear from Bills brass at OTAs tomorrow when Sean McDermott speaks with the media. Until then, let's get ready and let's answer some questions heading into OTAs for the Buffalo Bills with NewYorkUpstate.com's Ryan Talbot joining us in the sports bar. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Ryan. He's got the article up today. 8 biggest questions for the Buffalo Bills entering OTAs. Let's start at the defensive end position. Missing out on Ziggy Ansah. Does that mean the Buffalo Bills are done? What are the chances they fortify at that position before we get to training camp, Ryan?
You know, before training camp, I'm a little iffy on that. I do think before the start of the regular season, they're going to make another move. Whether that means waiting until roster cut down, seeing what veterans get cut around the draft. There's the CBS Sports article, you know, connecting the Bills and the Texans in a deal for that along those lines. But I think defensive end is something that's in play because on their big board on draft night, it showed defensive end is one of their positions of needs. And yeah, they drafted Darrell Johnson in the 7th round, but that really doesn't address it. They lost out on Ziggy Ansah. They didn't pick up Shaq Lawson's fifth-year option. So, and then you're looking at Jerry Hughes, who's entering the final year of his contract. So there's a lot of things that are up in the air about that defensive end position for the Bills entering OTAs and entering training camp this summer.
Ryan, you mentioned Jerry Hughes. What would be the benefit for the Bills to extend him before the start of the season?
Well, you know, I think one thing that he's lacked in the last few seasons is someone else that can provide a pass rush, whether it's at defensive end or defensive tackle, and all of a sudden you're going to have Ed Oliver there creating that internal pass rush. And it wouldn't surprise me if he benefited from Ed Oliver and ended up getting double-digit sacks again. And quite frankly, you know, the better the season that Hughes has this year, the more money he could be asking for in the offseason if the Bills wait. I don't think that they're going to get a cheap deal for him no matter when they re-sign him, but I think it's not a bad idea to at least start negotiations now, see what the asking price is. The Bills are in good financial shape. He's definitely a guy that maybe the sacks haven't been there. I have 22 over the last 4 seasons after back-to-back double-digit sack seasons, but he's also a guy that gets a lot of pressure on a regular basis.
Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate, are joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. All eyes are always on the quarterback position. I think anybody should be surprised that Derek Anderson walked away, but now we look at what's left here. You have Matt Barkley and Tyree Jackson. I guess we're all going to figure out together whether Tyree Jackson makes this 53, kind of along those same lines, Ryan, where I asked you about the defensive end position. Could we expect to see at some point a fourth camp arm brought in? Your thoughts on the whole backup quarterback position, second, third string, should there be a fourth string here in Buffalo as we enter camp?
Well, you know, there usually is a fourth quarterback when you're talking about training camp. You don't want to get too much work to the guys. You want to get some young players in to see what they can do. They had someone at the rookie mini camp in addition, obviously, to Tyree Jackson, who they signed as an undrafted free agent, but they didn't end up signing him to a deal. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Bills did add someone else for camp. Again, someone that's not going to be there long-term, but at least you have another guy that can throw the ball. But all eyes are going to be on Jackson this summer because, quite frankly, you know, obviously the path for him making the 53-man roster became much clearer after Derek Anderson announced his retirement. But I'm not convinced that the Bills are set on carrying 3 quarterbacks, with one of them being Jackson. I think he's going to have a very good summer in training camp and also going to have to perform very well against these third-string defenses that he's going to see on a regular basis when he's in those preseason games. If he performs well, I think Buffalo is going to have a hard time not keeping him on the 53-man roster. But if he has his struggles, I think Buffalo could let him go and then sign him to their practice squad and further his development. I mean, here's a guy that went undrafted. There's a reason teams didn't end up drafting him. They probably view him as a project. So definitely not a lot to make the roster, but someone who kind of has his fate in his own hands.
Ryan, we can't help ourselves. Week one of the preseason, it'll be the Bills and the Colts, who recently signed Chad Kelly. A battle royale in the second half of that first preseason game between Chad Kelly and Tyree Jackson. I ask you, Ryan Talbot, because I made Gene's head explode earlier this afternoon. Who would you rather have on your roster, Chad Kelly or Tyree Jackson?
I guess if we're talking on and off the field, I would say Jackson. You know, and that's, Chad Kelly has the arm talent. He showed that he can win some big games at his time at Ole Miss, you know, going against a team like Alabama, defeating them. But there's a lot of off-the-field problems. There's always been a lot of off-the-field problems. And I've always wondered whether Buffalo would be, you know, if he ever joined the Bills, whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing, because he got into some trouble when he was in Buffalo earlier in his life, you know, before he went to college, things of that nature, even when he was in college. So maybe he doesn't have the greatest group of friends in this area. So I'm not sure if it would be a benefit to have him on Buffalo's roster. Rooting for the guy, obviously, you know, you can only get so many second, third, fourth chances in this league. And I'm sure, you know, maybe that relationship with Jim Kelly and Frank Reich had something to do with him signing with the Colts, but I would rather have Tyree Jackson, especially at this point in both of their careers, based on what's happened on and off the field for Kelly.
Ryan, it used to be around this time of year, the storyline, oh, can you get your draft pick signed? How many of them will not be here when camp opens? But the new CBA took care of most of that. However, there is one Bills draft pick that remains unsigned. That's the third-round pick, Dawson Knox. In your article, you kind of point out there actually might be a reason for this.
Yeah, you know, David Moore of the Dallas Morning News pointed out that third-round pick, there's more wiggle room in terms of negotiations between teams and the players, where those first two rounds are kind of set in stone in terms of how much a player is going to get, which makes it a lot easier to set up those deals, obviously, with the later round picks as well. So there is a reason for it. There's over 20 third round picks that have not been signed yet, so it's not just like Dawson Knox is the only guy that didn't agree to a deal. Pretty commonplace across the NFL right now, and I'm sure sooner rather than later a deal will be done.
Hey, let's talk about the rest of the Buffalo Bills offensive line. We know that pretty much Mitch Morris is cemented, but other than that, who knows what this looks like? What are we looking at in OTAs tomorrow when you get the chance in terms of who's out there on the offensive line for the Bills?
Well, you don't want to read too much into OTAs in terms of where they line players up. You want to wait more so until training camp and you see the consecutive days. But it will be interesting to see how they line everyone up. You know, obviously, I think Deion Dawkins will get the first crack at left tackle, but maybe you see a situation similar to Cordy Glenn today, what you saw coming out of Cincinnati, where they moved him to guard. I think guard is on the table for Deion Dawkins this year if he struggles in camp in the preseason, because you draft a guy like Cody Ford that you think can play at right tackle. Ty Nsekhe has some experience playing left tackle from his time in Washington. So I don't think the job's necessarily just going to be handed to Dawkins. Then you look at the guard position. You know, you have Quentin Spain, who has over, you know, close to 50 career starts. You have Spencer Long, who has over 40 career starts for the two guard positions. But then you also have Wyatt Teller, a guy who the Bills drafted last year, a guy who recorded 7 starts. You have John Feliciano, a guard who has played under Bobby Johnson in his career. And then even over at right tackle, you have Adrian Waddle. You know, no one really talks about Waddle, and maybe he won't even get a crack at the starting lineup or anything like that, but his first two seasons in the league, Bobby Johnson was one of his coaches, and according to Pro Football Focus, at least, those were his two best seasons in the league. So there might be something there in terms of his style of play and a fit in this offensive line scheme that we'll see from Johnson. So even Waddle's a guy that people might be sleeping on. So I'm really interested to see how that all shakes out this summer.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, I want to commend you for your excellent detective work. Right after the draft, for folks who didn't see the video, the Buffalo Bills put out this behind the scenes, which is a good piece, where you see the reactions in the war room. But Ryan, you zeroed in on something in the background, and that was the board the Buffalo Bills had up, and they had needs. It did not have the wide receiver position listed as a need. So two parts of this. One, did that surprise you? And two, was there any fallout or pushback after you had that report where you kind of alerted everybody that, part of the Bills draft board got exposed here by themselves?
Well, there were one or two people that said, oh, great, the Bills probably won't produce a video like that again. I said, I don't think that's the case. You know, it was at, well after the draft was over. My wife probably thought I was insane as I was screenshotting, zooming in, and trying to read that board from a distance. But, yeah, no one really questioned that, or no one really, there wasn't much pushback there. But I guess I'm not overly surprised, because you look at this roster, and I think the first five wide receivers are set in terms of who's going to make this roster, unless there's a surprise or an injury. You have Zay Jones, you have Robert Foster, John Brown, Cole Beasley, and Andre Roberts. Roberts, especially for his special teams play, seem like they're locked. So now you look and you say, okay, are they carrying six wide receivers? Will they maybe carry seven? They made sure to go out and sign Duke Williams in free agency. You know, the best wide receiver in the CFL last year. Whether or not that translates to the NFL, we'll see. Isaiah McKenzie was a little gadget player that they brought in during the season last year, and there were times where he produced the Bills, whether it was on end-arounds, whether it was on little quick hitters, far from a guarantee to make the roster. But they do have some guys there already. Cam Phillips is another guy that they promoted during up to the roster. They brought in, obviously, a guy like David Stills, someone who, when he met with the media, mentioned that the Bills liked him, but they actually told him that they weren't planning on drafting a wide receiver, but if he was available after, they were going to be interested in him. So it wasn't much of a surprise after the fact. You know, there was a time, though, where they were connected to DK Metcalf, a guy who fell. The Bills had multiple opportunities to get him. They brought in some guys on pre-draft visits, but it just seems like it was due diligence and nothing more than that. In the event that one of them fell to a spot where the Bills felt, okay, this is the best player available. But, yeah, wasn't on their board, and I guess I can see why based on the talent that they already have on the roster.
The eight biggest questions for the Buffalo Bills entering OTAs, the article you can read at NewYorkUpstate.com by Ryan Talbot, who joins us now in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Levi Wallace is interesting, going into his second season, nice rookie year, but the Bills did make moves in free agency to bring in competition for that number two corner job. EJ Gaines, Kevin Johnson, both guys that have struggled with staying healthy. Is Levi Wallace up for that competition, or do you see these two new additions as guys that they're just going to outplay the undrafted rookie from last year?
I think Wallace can hold his own against these two, and I think the fact that, mind you, it was only seven starts, but the fact that he stayed healthy from the time that he was inserted into the lineup to the end of the year, that could benefit him. You know, you mentioned EJ Gaines. 2017, when he was on the field, Buffalo's defense was phenomenal. They were holding opposing offenses to something like 16, 17 points per game. He was outstanding when healthy, but he was down a lot with injuries. And then he left as a free agent last year. I think he played a few games in Cleveland, but then he had some concussion issues. So, you know, he seems to have that injury bug follow him. And wouldn't it be nice maybe if you could have him backing up Levi Wallace and he's not having to play as many significant snaps, and you can maybe keep him healthy over a 16-game season, and all of a sudden that benefits the defense. You look at a guy like Kevin Johnson, you mentioned it again, injuries with Kevin Johnson, but he has a connection to the secondary coach, John Butler. Butler was in Houston when he was drafted in the first round. He does have that first-round pedigree. I think he's going to get a shot to compete for that spot. I also think he's going to have a chance to compete for the slot cornerback job against Taron Johnson, another cornerback who played phenomenal last year in his rookie year, but also battled with some injuries. So I think the competition is going to bring out the best in everyone. But I think Wallace will end up actually holding on to that job.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here in the Sports Bar as the Bills will have the practice open to the media practice. It's OTAs, you know what I'm saying, tomorrow. I'm not sure if LeSean McCoy will talk to reporters, but Ryan, I am certainly interested to hear what he thinks about perhaps the Bills drafting his heir apparent in Devin Singletary. Your thoughts on the running back position, because right now between McCoy, Gore, Singletary, you've got TJ Yeldon, you've got a lot of mouths to feed if you're going to keep all four there.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. If you keep all four, that might mean Patrick DeMarco's time with the Bills ends. Very good special teams player, but not used very often on offense. But having four running backs on the roster, if they make the 53-man roster, is going to be tough to juggle, because you might be looking at Yeldon being inactive some weeks. But even if you have all four active, these running backs probably need to get their carries to kind of get into that groove. You can't just give them two carries here and there and expect them to rip off 10, 15, 20-yard runs, or even 4 or 5-yard runs. They need to get that workload in, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Bills juggle that, because McCoy, they've already said, hey, he's our starter, and maybe that's just lip service, maybe it's not. But Frank Gore is the guy that they brought in to be a veteran leader, a guy that they like, a guy that still was averaging over 4 yards a carry last year in Miami. Still looks like he has a lot of tread on the tires, so to speak. And then you drafted Devin Singletary in the third round. This isn't like a seventh-round running back that you might make the roster, might not. He's making the roster at the end of the day, and you're going to want to get him into the lineup and get him his carries and you know, maybe ease him into the lineup. I'm not saying the guy's going to get 15, 20 carries a game, but you're not also going to sit him on the bench for long periods of time either. So just those top three alone make it interesting. And then you have Yeldon, a guy that maybe you bring in on third down passing downs especially, because he is a very solid pass catcher out of the backfield. So really interested to see how Sean McDermott balances that and also keeps everyone happy.
Is LeSean McCoy on this final 53?
You know, that's a question I keep going back and forth on. I think they want to see how he looks this summer with this new offensive line, and I think they're going to know pretty quickly whether or not last year was a fluke or not. I think if they think he's lost a step and he's not performing up to what Gore is doing and what Singletary is doing, I think they may look to move him before the start of the regular season.
Well, one of the best as far as breaking stories, breaking news, Ryan Talbot, New York Upstate. Eight biggest questions for the Buffalo Bills entering OTAs. Ryan, what else do we have to look forward to coming up on the website this week?
Matt Perino and I are going to talk tonight about the position battles we're most excited and players are most excited to watch here during OTAs. Probably a much too early 53-man roster prediction will be coming your way, or projection this week. And then any other late breaking news or breaking news that happens, we'll definitely have you covered over at NewYorkUpstate.com.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. Appreciate you giving us some time. Talk to you real soon, all right?
Sounds great.
Ryan Talbot covering the Buffalo Bills at NewYorkUpstate.com. You can read his work there. Also worth a follow on Twitter. You can follow Ryan. He is at Ryan Talbot Bills on Twitter.
I want to go back to the Jerry Hughes question.
Yeah, I don't give him the money right now. I'm sorry.
No, and I know a lot of fans will say, you know, that's your best pass rusher. That's the guy you got to. He's old. He's old. And maybe he has a productive season, but he's still on the tail end of his career. You need to get younger on the defensive side of the ball. You've done that with some of the pieces you brought in, but no, I'm not into signing Hughes, especially before the season starts. No.
If one of the two will be gone in 2020, because you're not going to give big money to Shaq Lawson and Jerry Hughes. Maybe it's a comp. In the end, if you have to end up paying Shaq Lawson, that means Shaq Lawson played very well for you. But right now, I wouldn't bet my money on that.
Let's get to NFL appetizers in the sports bar. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We've got a pretty significant injury in Washington to tell you about.
We've got an NFL running back that is in trouble with the law here. We'll tell you the latest what happened last night.
Hot punter talk on the way as well. We don't want to let you down. We have some hot punter talk coming up in NFL appetizers. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.